This is But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And we're going to discuss some Batman. The Batman.
The Batman.
The one, the only Batman. So, spoilers. If you haven't seen Dark Knight Rises, don't listen to this because we will spoil a lot, especially the ending.
Unless you don't... Yes, especially the ending.
Yeah, unless you don't give a shit.
If you just don't give a shit, yeah, then listen. But if you are like me and don't like spoilers, then I would advise you turn it off.
Yeah, if you want to save yourself $10 and try to piece together what happens in the movie from two idiots talking, then by all means listen on, but probably better if you just go see the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be more coherent if you just go see it.
Yeah.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy it?
See, this is hard for me, because I saw it, I probably got out of the theater, I'm going to say, 3 hours ago. So, still pretty fresh in my mind. I would say it was probably an 8.
Okay.
I think I like Dark Knight better than Rises, but that may change upon further viewings. Because I've seen The Dark Knight way more than I've seen Rises, obviously.
Right. And with both of the movies, there's clearly some intricacies that would cause your viewing experience to change depending on how many times you've seen it. It's not Blue Streak.
Yeah. Now what would you give it in terms of enjoyment?
I would probably give it around an, I'll say an 8.5. I can't decide if I want to say 8 or 9.
Okay, split the difference. That's good. Now that's not our rating. That's just our enjoyment of it.
Exactly.
I think my, because I was in it. There are a lot of parts where I was very, I wasn't literally on the edge of my seat, but I was along for the ride. I was very into it, going, oh shit, what's going to happen? Because Nolan, I wouldn't be surprised if he started killing off huge characters left and right. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm actually a little disappointed that he didn't. We can get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we want to discuss this? Do we want to just start at the beginning and kind of go through it in a linear fashion? Do we want to start at the end and work back?
I say we start out with, discuss our favorite moments in the movie.
All right.
Or most memorable parts. And, all right. We'll kind of branch out from there, I guess.
All right. You go ahead. Cause I'm going to have to take a minute. Yeah.
For me, I think that my favorite parts of the entire movie involved Bane. And
really?
I really liked him. That might seem kind of generic to say, because he was kind of like the highlight going into the movie. Everyone was all hyped up about Bane. But I really enjoyed him. He seemed... I don't know. I don't know if it was Tom Hardy's portrayal or just the writing for his character, but I really liked him.
The one thing that I didn't like about him was the voice.
You didn't like the voice, okay.
It was a little too high-pitched and sounded a little bit too much like he was trying to do a Sean Connery impression under the mask.
It was kind of he sounded like a Scottish Darth Vader, which is actually how Darth Vader originally sounded. If you've ever seen the footage.
No. I have, but
before they dubbed James Earl Jones' voice. But,
I didn't like the voice. I kind of like the character, though.
See, you know, at first, the voice, because I watched the, there was that thing that came out, a few months ago.
The opening.
The opening there,
scene.
Right.
It's basically the opening scene.
And they changed Bane's voice. Bane's voice was a little bit different.
It was a little bit more garbled.
Yeah. And at first I was like, I was, I didn't know what the new voice sounded like, really, except for, like, maybe one or two lines from the commercials, like, I'm Gotham's Reckoning or whatever, which I love that line. But I guess I didn't realize how much the voice had kind of been updated. And at first, I thought to myself, I don't know if I like it. I think it's a little too much. It doesn't fit him. But I don't know. After a while, I actually really liked it. I came to the voice, to me, for some reason, fit with him. It didn't bother me after a while. Yeah. And I could see how it did. Like, it was a little odd to me at first, too.
There were times it bothered me less and less, but there were still times where I was like, I wish he had a more kind of
sinister.
Yeah, I was gonna try and describe the voice. I wish it was a little bit more gravelly, a little bit like darker, because it was too high pitched for me.
Yeah,
because he seems like a menacing guy that should talk down here, but then at times he was like, "Oh, Batman." Mm-hmm. you dare to impersonate I don't know how to best to describe it, but it was a little too like tinny for me. Okay. I guess it would be a good word. Like, it just kind of rang out a little bit, and I guess it kind of fits with the mask, but it took me out a bit out of certain scenes where he was just a little bit menacing. Not enough to really make, I don't think, a lasting effect, because I still think he is a great villain, but I don't think he stands up to, like, the Joker in The Dark Knight. That's probably the reason why I enjoy The Dark Knight a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna...
At this point, but...
Yeah, no, and I'm not gonna say that he was better than the Joker in The Dark Knight or anything, but I really enjoyed him. I also... My favorite person in the movie, other than him, was probably Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Mm-hmm. Levitt. Mm-hmm. He was great. His character was... There was times when I thought he acted a little strange, where he goes and confronts the gentleman there working with the cement trucks, and he ends up killing them. But, like, just the way he reacts, like, after he kills them, and, like, I guess maybe that's supposed to be a little bit of a allusion to him being Robin or Nightwing.
Yeah.
But...
Which we need to talk about also.
Right, yes. But, I don't know. I was like, you're a cop. You brought a gun, and you shot a guy. I was like, you should probably expect that may happen.
Yeah, he seemed very upset about the use of the gun. Which seemed off-putting to me.
It just didn't seem to fit.
Which, I guess, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But, he was very good in it, regardless of kind of that one weird scene. He played it off very well. But when you go back and think about it, you're like, that was kind of a weird scene, how a cop reacts to the use of a gun.
It was a very odd scene.
Yeah, he kind of... Yeah, he looked like he had just found something, like, awkward.
He had just found, like, porno in his parents' bedroom.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he tried to just, like, throw it aside. I don't want to see this. This is fucked up.
Yeah, and then I wasn't sure if there was a scene where he actually picked up the gun again. I thought I saw him pick up the gun again, but I'm just like, why are you freaking out? Well, like, you purposely...
Yeah, I'm about 99% sure he had a gun in later scenes. But
yeah. I mean, he obviously picked it up at some point, but it seemed like he was so disgusted by it, and then almost immediately when he called Gordon, he picked it up again.
Right, right. But he was excellent, and I really liked how they worked that dynamic between him and Batman. I thought that was great.
It was a little bit weird, though, how he just kind of knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman. You know what I mean? Like,
he kind of, yeah, he, like, went on a premonition that...
He was talking about how they were both orphans, which I liked. Then all of a sudden he was kind of like, I saw you that one time, and I knew you were just putting on a face because we're both orphans, and then I knew you were Batman. that seemed a little bit weird to me.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, the scene that they did it in, I thought it worked fine. Like, the reasoning behind it was a little off, but...
The reasoning, the scene worked beautifully, where he confronts him. The funny thing is, I realized that Bruce Wayne never actually reveals that he's Batman. He never actually comes out and says it. Like, he never says it to Blake.
Oh, right.
He never says it to Blake. He never says it to Fox. He never says it to Rachel. I mean, by the second one, Maggie Gyllenhaal knows, but Katie Holmes didn't. So
that's just because she's stupid.
Well, that's true. I mean, she did marry Tom Cruise, so he never says it to her, and he doesn't say it at the end to Commissioner Gordon. Both, any time that he kind of says it, he alludes to it by saying something kind of secretive, and then they're like, oh my god.
I don't really like that part.
I thought it was kind of weird. You don't like the end of it?
Well, I wasn't really...
You don't like that part where he says it to Commissioner
Where
Gordon.
He says it, and then there's like the kind of, there's the scene, the part where Gordon's like, oh my god, Bruce Wayne. I was like, dude, you knew. Come on. Like, he had to have known, right?
No, I don't think, because the thing is, I think Gordon operates mostly under his gut instinct, and I think somewhere he kind of buried the fact that it could be Bruce Wayne. I think he embraced the Batman and said, I don't want to know who that guy is, but I know he's on our side.
So you're saying what, he kind of just like... He shut it out. Like, shut out the possibility.
Exactly. He just completely shut out. He said, I don't even care about who it is. Fuck, I don't want to know. He's on our side, and that's all that matters.
Okay. I'll accept that.
So I don't think he ever bothered to examine it. I don't think he cared. I think he just knew, this is a good guy that's going to help us out. But I do agree that him saying that was kind of weird.
I think if he
kind of... expressed it with his face a little bit, we would have kind of gotten the hint.
Right.
There were a couple parts like that in the movie where I was like, all right, like, you didn't have to say it.
Yeah, like, that didn't need to get spelled out.
There were a couple parts where I would have cut out dialogue. You know how much I like dialogue. I'm a writer, I love dialogue.
Right.
But there are parts where I would have cut it out and just been like, it gives it away too much. So I don't know if I should talk about that or not.
Yeah.
Because there are a few parts.
Do it.
And a lot of the scenes with Bruce Wayne and Blake, or specifically more when he's Batman talking to Blake, he is going, when you do this next time, wear a mask. Like, okay, so you're setting it up to be... He's going to be a hero? Like, is he going to be... take your place as Batman? What are you doing? And then there's the part where they go... Where at the end... We'll skip to the end. Blake picks up that bag. Now, I missed it. How did he pick up that bag? I was responding to, I think, the scene just before that. So how did Blake know to go and pick up a bag? Did you catch that?
Oh, how did he know to go to Wayne and get the bag?
Like, I'm talking at the very end. Where he goes, oh, we'll check under my real name.
Like, yeah.
My legal name. How did he know to do that?
You know what? I don't know.
Because I think the scene right before that... Was the scene right before that the scene with Michael Caine?
Michael Caine... Oh... No, it was kind of intermixed, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I get confused about the order of the scenes in the end. The Michael Caine scene, where he's talking to the graves of the parents, oh my god, fucking fantastic. I love Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
I love Michael Caine, and that response, I started to get a little teary. I won't lie.
I did too.
I was like, oh my god. Like, he... Oh my god. Because I was thinking that Bruce Wayne was actually dead. I was thinking that he had died. Because I was trying to think about it before and going, well, how can he end the series? And Rachel asks me and goes, well, do you think that Batman's going to die at the end of this? And somebody else is going to take the place of Batman? And I'm going, I don't think so. But then I'm going, well, I don't know how else to end the series. Like, Batman almost has to die.
Right.
And I'm thinking of the comic books where Batman dies and Dick Grayson takes his place.
Right.
And then he does Batman Incorporated and has Batman all over the world. And I don't know. I haven't read that part of it yet. I'm a little behind. But I'm thinking, well, I guess it's possible. It's entirely possible that Batman dies at the end of this. Because I don't know how else to end his story arc. You know what I mean? Like, if I was writing it myself, I would probably kill him off.
Right.
So I thought he was dead, and then Michael Caine is talking to the graves of the parents and crying himself. And I'm like, oh my God, Michael Caine, don't cry.
Oh, I know.
You tried to do good. You left to try to force him to realize his problems, but
he's stubborn.
Yeah. You just can't reach kids today, all right? Michael Caine, don't be upset. But I think I think that was the scene right before it. If I'm wrong, whatever. But I think that was the scene right before, and I think I was distracted by that I missed how he picked up the, he knew to pick up the bag, because he was in the boardroom and they were talking about dispersing, and they said Wayne Manor will go to the orphans.
Yeah,
which was really sweet. And then all of a sudden he's picking up a bag, and I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I also got distracted because the receptionist or the secretary, whoever he talks to, I go, oh, that was the girl from Judging Amy.
Oh, my God. Oh. I really hope you were the only one that noticed that.
I probably wasn't. I mean, there were probably a few women.
I was going to say, there's maybe a couple that. Broads noticed
but I
that.
Noticed it also, all right? So she goes, oh, is there anything under this name? And she goes, oh, no. And he goes, oh, give me my real maybe it's under my legal name. And he hands her a card, which I thought was weird. Rather than just say his legal name?
Yeah.
But I'll assume he handed his driver's license. So he hands the license over to her. And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And hands him a bag. And goes, you should really use your real name. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes, I like Robin. I thought that was way too much.
I agree. I think it was...
Considering later on in that kind of ending sequence, they show him finding the... opening the bag, finding the transmitter, finding the cave, and stepping on that thing, and the platform lifting him up. So he is going to get, you know, everything that he had. It was kind of like the last scene in Prometheus that you talked about in episode 2.
How it was just unnecessary?
Yeah, you were like, it was just too much. And you said, I think you said that they were kind of like, oh, by the way, in case you didn't get it,
yeah,
I'll give you this also.
Right, right.
That's how I kind of felt about that scene. Because I was just like, okay, just if you show us everything leading up to that, but take out that little part, it still works.
I completely agree, because I think, I mean, everyone kind of, they kind of got it, right? I mean,
the thing that kind of got me was his real name is Robin.
Right.
But he has to be in his 20s.
Yeah.
You know, we'll say mid to late 20s. Now, does he become Batman? Does he become Nightwing, or does he become Robin? Because I feel like he shouldn't become Robin.
Well, because to have Robin, you kind of have to have Batman.
Well, and I mean, Robin doesn't do much in the comics. Robin is just kind of there as a sidekick, and
he's kind of lame.
Yeah, his costume's kind of lame. Everything's just kind of stupid for him. So I'm ruling out that he becomes Robin. even though that scene is in there, I don't think he can become Robin.
See, I was thinking more of a Nightwing type deal.
Unless he becomes the character from the comic books, Red Robin, which is an adult Robin.
Right.
But I was thinking that he would become Nightwing. Or, and this is a part that Rachel brought up, does he become Batman? Because, and I was thinking, no, he can't, because everybody thinks that Batman is dead. And they build a statue to Batman. And they say Batman is the savior of the city. But, at the end, Commissioner Gordon finds that the bat signal is repaired. And it shows a bat clearly on it.
Right.
And in the comics, when Bruce Wayne dies at one point, before he becomes back, Dick Grayson, who used to be Robin, takes his place.
It's true.
So I choose to believe that he becomes Nightwing.
That's what I was going with, too. I didn't like the idea that he became Robin. It didn't make any sense to me. It just... I don't know.
Robin has always been a weird sidekick character.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess that's the main reason why. Because he wouldn't be a sidekick.
The way he's always been written is as a sidekick who then becomes something else. And he becomes Nightwing or Red Robin, or he becomes something else entirely, or he gets killed by the Joker. I mean, Robin isn't a menacing name. You know what I mean?
No, it's not intimidating at all.
So, even Red Robin. I hear Red Robin, I think, yum.
Ew. So, I mean, don't do that again.
That's what I've been programmed to know, all right? But advertising has taught me, I hear Red Robin, I go yum, okay? But I think Nightwing would be the better fit, because even Nightwing's symbol kind of resembles the bat.
Right.
I think that would make the most sense. Because Nightwing was originally an orphan, which Blake was.
Exactly.
So, in that case, I think the Robin scene is really weird that it's in there. But, I mean, overall, I think the scenes where Bane went too high on the voice and didn't seem as menacing kind of took me out of it a little bit. And then the any scene with Batman and Blake that kind of ended with him being like, oh, by the way, this is how you do what I do, in case you ever decide to become me.
Like he was already planning his exit strategy?
Yeah, yeah.
He was doing what George Bush didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I have a question. We've touched so much upon the ending. What did you think of the ending?
Well...
And by the ending, I mean with him still being alive.
You know, I actually, the way that they did it, I liked it. Because the way that they set it up, Batman dies. Bruce Wayne kind of technically dies, but the man lives on. And he is able to give closure to himself.
Right.
That I liked. He is able to move on from this. So, in a sense, Batman does die. To me. But I like that the man lives on. And he's able to do other things. But then bringing in, we'll say, Nightwing. You know, the story is not over. There's more to it. Gotham still needs help. We'll always need help. But the overarching story of the character of Bruce Wayne himself is kind of complete.
Right. And I agree with you. Originally, I really did not like the ending. Not a fan. Like, at all. Because I felt like there were so many parts, like, right before you find out that he's still alive, that were very, especially the Michael Caine thing, where it was just, it was emotionally wrenching. Mm-hmm. And I felt like him being alive was kind of all for naught in the end, where it really just kind of took you through the grinder. And then it was like, oh, well, just kidding. But at the same time, and I guess I didn't really think of it until today when I was discussing with someone else, that had Bruce Wayne not lived, and not even the character Batman, but Bruce Wayne, had he not lived, then the character arc would have been nothing. And he would have been the exact same person he was in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and really, that is true, I can kind of live with it more. I'm not saying I'm still crazy about the ending, but it doesn't bother me as much mm-hmm. when I think of it in that context.
It's, It does tell a better story, I think. The whole series seems to be about the fact that Batman is trying to be more of a symbol. And it reaches a point where Gotham doesn't need that symbol anymore. But that doesn't mean that the man can't live on. But I right. like that they went through everyone to let everybody know that the people that supported him the most, the people that cared about him the most, because even though he was an orphan, he basically created a family with Alfred, Fox, Blake, not really Catwoman, but he ends up with her, so...
Right.
You kind of know. But the people that supported him the most know that he's still around. And I think that shows a big character change in him. And I think it also kind of reflects thinking of Inception, Nolan's okay. movie right before this. At the end... And spoiler for Inception if you haven't seen it, but again, it's been out for a while, so hopefully you have. At the very end, it cuts out before you know if he's in a dream or not. And I think the point is, it really doesn't matter if he is or not, because he's gone through a change in himself, where he allows himself to be a certain way.
Right. And that's really the whole point of it. It's not... Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what's going on around him, around the character, doesn't necessarily count for as much as what's going on, you know,
yeah,
with him.
I think what Nolan got right in this whole trilogy, besides just saying... Because I will say, I think it's one of the best trilogies in existence.
Right.
Because the third movie always seems to fuck it up somehow.
Yeah, it was... I mean, if you want to talk about best third movies, I mean, it was definitely top 2, 3. Easy.
I would say it's up there with Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Star Wars right. original trilogy.
Obviously.
I mean, I don't know. I would need to see it more, but as we talked about in a previous episode, Return of the Jedi has big faults in the beginning.
Yeah, it's got big faults everywhere, but...
I don't think Dark Knight Rises has as big faults in the beginning as Jedi does. The other one, Lord of the Rings, I mean, it was based specifically on books, so I think it already told a good story arc. It was just trying to transfer that to movies, which was successfully done. I think...
Even if the Tolkiens don't say so.
Yeah, I mean, the real diehards, although a lot of the diehards do appreciate the extended versions more than the theatrical ones. But regardless of that, I think what Nolan achieved was, I think he achieved a action series for Batman that told the story of Batman and kept everybody interested, but then also told the story of this guy who, when he was very young, he got scared in an opera, forced his parents to leave. His parents then got killed, and he was on his own. And it's kind of him dealing with it.
Don't forget the trusty butler.
With the trusty butler. I think it tells the story of a character as much as it tells the story of just being a Batman story.
No, you're right. I mean, it... I guess, I don't know. I guess I was being too critical of it when I originally was like, I hate the ending. But the character arc is just so important. And Batman doesn't need a character arc. Bruce Wayne does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it's Batman is, again, Batman is a symbol. And Batman isn't a character. He's not just a person that you go, this is what Batman's doing. This is Batman's arc. You go, well, underneath the mask is Bruce Wayne. He has this arc of his story. It's a lot more than just telling a Batman story sometimes, which I think Nolan understood. The thing that I like most, I think, because I don't think I said my favorite part, besides the Michael Caine scene, which is tore me up, and I thought that was, and that part at the end, and then the part where he is in Wayne Manor telling him, I don't know how to tell you this, so I'm just gonna leave and hope you get it.
Right.
He was fantastic, but the other parts that I liked were the parts where, I mean, it's kind of hard to peg down a scene, but the parts where you got the sense that Nolan knew enough of the mythology in the comics to reward fans, but also trick them at the same time.
Okay.
For example, I love the part where he fights Bane.
Oh, when they're down in the sewer? Yes.
Yeah. And he says, I will break you. Which right. is what he says in the comics when he breaks Batman's back.
Right.
And in the comics, he is in there he's in a wheelchair for quite a while. And I don't know how he gets out of the wheelchair. To be honest, I don't. But Bane broke into the Batcave, I think, broke his back, and then at some point he got out of it. But in the interim, a guy took over as kind of Batman and was named Azrael, I think.
That sounds right, yes.
And he was a little bit more focused on technology. He was a little bit darker, a little bit more twisted, which is why he ended up not being replacing Batman, kind of. But I was almost expecting that also, and I think the marketing also knew what they were doing, because if you went to a Barnes & Noble, you would see Nightfall, which is the storyline where all this happens,
mm-hmm.
right on the like new and paperback table. So they were kind of trying to lead you to believe that that is something that would happen. Like this, Bane will break his back, and then somebody else will take the mantle of Batman.
Right.
And they kind of do it in the trailers, too, in some of the TV spots. There's one part where Fox shows him the bat. The Batwing, but he calls it the bat. It's Fox standing next to Wayne. And Wayne has the crutch next to him.
Mm-hmm.
In the trailers or the TV spots, and to be honest, I don't know if I watch a trailer or TV spot. Some of them I watch online, whatever. What Bruce Wayne says is different than what is actually said in the movie. In the actual movie, he's kind of like, oh, well, that's pretty cool, but now you're just trying to tease me, or something like that.
Right.
In the trailers, though, it has the voiceover from when he is captured and is with Fox in the city hall, in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I want you to get me back in the game.
Right.
Because when I saw that scene of Fox standing next to Wayne with the cane, and he said, I want you to get me back in the game, I'm thinking in my mind that at some point Bane breaks his back.
Right. He's put out of commission.
He's put out of commission, and all this stuff is going on, and then he's walking with the cane, and he goes to Fox and says, I want you to put me back in the game. Which I think would have been a good story, but it wouldn't have been as good as, I think, what Nolan actually did. And I think people knew that, so I think they were kind of deceptive in their advertising in order to trick people to kind of almost trick, fanboys into being surprised, which I was very surprised about, as I was surprised with Bane and Talia.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't say I was completely surprised about that.
Well, I was a little bit surprised because I was always expecting her to be Talia.
Right.
Even though there were reports for months that she would not be Talia. That was not her character in the movie. That's what they were saying for months. But I kept thinking, I don't know, don't trust her. Don't sleep with her. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't sleep with her. But then in the back of my mind, I'm going back to comic books where Bruce Wayne sleeps with Talia, and they have a kid that later becomes Robin. So I'm going, well, I guess that could be possible. But by the end, it's not possible. But
yeah, she ain't having a kid anytime soon.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that that might be a possibility, but I'm kind of I keep going, oh well, they said that she wasn't, and I don't know, but I wouldn't trust her. And I keep going, Bruce Wayne's fall is always women. That's always what fucks him up.
It's true.
Because he just wants somebody to love him, but he doesn't realize that Alfred already loves him, but not in a weird way.
Yeah, but he needs a woman's touch.
That's true.
Not a old English butler's touch.
When he says buttle, he means bring me my coffee, not tug me one off. But I don't know why I said that like Yoda, but
you did. It was a really roundabout way of making a jerk off joke.
I don't know. I think I was trying to sound British, but that did not work at all. Anyway, but he does need a woman. He needs somebody's affection. And I was thinking that when I was watching him, but I was going, I don't know. I was going back and forth. Now, they tell the story of Bane in the movie, and it's pretty much spot on for the comic book. Mm-hmm. I think in the comic book it was an island that he was, a prison island that he was born on. But he was born on this prison island, and that's basically what raised him and made him so tough.
Right.
Now, it changes a little bit because Bane gets his power in the comic book from Venom, like this elixir that is pumped into him.
Right, which has nothing to do with...
Which, yeah, has nothing to do with what's in the movie. I guess he's just... He doesn't feel pain, first of all, because of that mask that he wears in the movie, so I guess that kind of helps him in his fighting.
Right.
But he is as tough almost as he is in the comic books. But he does have basically the same origin story. And like Bruce, you're thinking, oh, well, this is his story. He was the kid that escaped from the prison. And then you find out that it's Talia, it's Miranda, who is Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she is the one that escaped. Which I like, because it was a nice throw, because, and that's again another part where I'm thinking they knew what comic people would believe, because everyone would hear that origin story of Bane, who had read the comics or had some knowledge or had looked up on Wikipedia, going, that is Bane's origin story, pretty much. That's pretty cool. Like, they use the same story, and then all of a sudden they're like, no, it was a girl. And you're like, oh shit, how did I not realize that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that one got me, definitely.
That surprised me, because I was still thinking that she was his daughter, almost. I was almost thinking before they realize it and reveal it, I was thinking they were brother and sister. Which, right. I thought would have been cool, too. But the fact that they put a little twist on the origin, I thought was very cool. Of both characters.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had zero problem with any of that, because it was still true enough to the comics and whatever. And you know what? That's not even that big of a deal. Like, you want to mess with a little bit of the details here. I mean, if anything, that's good. You know, keep people on their toes a little bit with the story, because I mean, what's the fun if you know the entire story before you go in?
Oh yeah,
I did like that bit.
That's why I wasn't thinking that in the movie itself, Blake would turn into Batman or Nightwing or something like that, because it would almost be predictable.
Right.
So I was hoping that they wouldn't do that, because then I would just kind of get bored with it.
Yeah. I'm going to throw something in here that doesn't necessarily have to do with that.
All right, everybody. That's part one of our Dark Knight Rises discussion. Saturday, you can check out part two of our analysis and our, I guess, nitpicking and occasional bitching. Be sure to go onto iTunes, subscribe, make sure you won't miss it. I'm Keith Bordela. Take a little pause for the homies. And if we don't see you through the week, we will see you through the window.
Outro.